inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Oh, what a Friday Form Focus. It is a huge weekend of racing. Tonight at the Valley, Group 1 racing. Tomorrow at Rose Hill, 5 Group 1s. And, of course, the Mornington Cup meeting down on the peninsula. And the man who is across all of those meetings and has all the winners is Mick Sharkey. How are you, Shark?
What about your week? Haven't you just had a good one, hey?
What's happened?
Well, every night I don't go to bed without looking at your Instagram account just to see what you've been up to during the day. Give you a little profile picture, a kiss goodnight. And I noticed this week, last week, of course, you had Rachel Griffiths at Ballarat. Then you were on doing a weirdo Top Gun Terminator impersonation on a Lego motorbike.
You have to be versatile in media.
On a Lego motorbike. And then you were posing with your arm around a Daniel Ricciardo lookalike at the Grand Prix. I thought it was fantastic.
Good luck to Daniel.
Is that a wax statue?
He's a ripper bloke on Sunday. Let's talk about horsepower of a different kind, the kind we love. We're quickly going to have a chat to Marty Sine and Lindsay Murphy to get the track conditions. G'day, Marty. How are you, mate?
Good, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Back to the true tonight. How do you think the track will play?
I think it'll play fairly even. There is a bit of wear and tear from, say, the 5 metres out around the side and around the home turn, but that shouldn't impact most of the races. The inside's had a good 4 week break. Beautiful cover of grass. We've got plenty of moisture in it. They're just striping the track up now for presentation. I expect a really good night.
So do you think, because it is going back to the true, the inside will be the place to be early?
I'd say so. I mean, there's a beautiful cover of grass. So if it does improve out wide because of the wind and that today, it may be a bit of an advantage. But with the wear and tear, generally, they struggle to make up ground. So I'd say the rail's the place to be. And with the 9.55, hopefully we can beat the record and have just one winner instead of a dead eat as we've got at the moment.
There's going to be some nervous trainers tonight. Well, good luck, Marty. We'll see you out there.
No worries. Thanks, Michael.
All right, let's head up to Sydney now, Lindsay Murphy, because once again, they've been hit with wet weather. You can almost bank on it every time. It was a wet Golden Slipper last year. How wet will it be tomorrow? How are you, Lindsay?
Yeah, good, thanks, Michael.
How much rain have you had and how much more is coming?
Look, we've had 38.5 mil to date, and I don't think there is a lot more coming. It's quite overcast at the moment and quite cool, but I don't think there's a lot more rain in it. We were looking a bit the same yesterday, but then we got another 7.5 mil last night, which we could have done without. But if it stays clear, and the forecast is for it to clear up this afternoon and tomorrow not to be a bad day, it won't be so bad.
So what's the track rated?
Look, we're a heavy 8 at the moment, Michael. The penetrometer is 6.01, which is just into that heavy 8 range. Problematic whether it gets much better than that, to be perfectly honest. I think it'll be hovering around that mark.
So by the time we get to the slipper, if we're racing on a heavy track, do you think they'll be wanting to get off the fence and outside draws might be an advantage?
Look, it won't be a disadvantage, I don't think. They tend to get off the fence irregardless of what the conditions are lately, and particularly on a heavy track, I'm sure they will, and it's irregardless of where we put the rail. So I'm sure they will be scouting a bit, so might bring those barriers into contention.
Well, rails out to Lindsay. Wish you all the best for your big day tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Lindsay Murphy there from Rose Hill. Heavy 8 Shark. It was another heavy track last year for the slipper. What do you do? Does that alter your thoughts on the meeting and the race?
Oh, we totally guessing as to whether any of them will handle it. Written by is probably the only one that's seen a heavy track. We don't know which ones will love it, which ones will hate it, which ones will kind of just go. So, yeah, it's diabolical from a punter's point of view, but it's a slipper, so you still want to try and isolate something that you think will get through it and find some reasoning why something will handle a heavy track, but it's not a great scenario.
Well, let's start with Rose Hill, and let's start with the biggest race of the day, the Golden Slipper. We'll look at the quaddie legs at Rose Hill, also Mini Valley tonight and Mornington tomorrow. With that rating, you say it's a raffle or a quandary as to how they're going to handle it. How many genuine winning hopes do you think there are?
No, there's probably, well, again, not knowing which ones are going to handle the track, there's probably 6 to 8 winning chances. The interesting thing about this race this year is you've got 2 standout horses, 1 colt, 1 filly, Written By and Sunlight. Written By has seen a heavy track on debut at Sandown, although trainer Graham Begg's been pretty vocal all the way along saying he thinks he's better on top of the ground, and it's hard to argue given his record. Sunlight only defeated once on debut when she did plenty wrong. Since then, she's just gone whackety-whack. And again, all on top of the ground. We don't know if she's going to handle a wet track or not, so we're guessing there. But both of them also back up within 7 days of grand final day, which is unusual, I'd say, for the two top seeds. So
backing up onto a heavy track.
Onto a heavy track. Positives and negatives there. You could say that, well, if they had a tough run last week, they're going to be tested again here. But the other thing is, they're going to be rock hard fit, and you need to be to get through a heavy track. So it's a confusing scenario for the top picks. Well, outside of those, you're looking at half a dozen horses.
Well, with those favourites, Barrier Draw Tuesday, everyone was rejoicing, saying, Barrier 3, Barrier 3,
may
how
good.
May not
be the place to be.
May not be now.
And suddenly horses like, you know, Performer, which is obviously gifted, but a little wayward, as we saw last start. Horses like Esther Jarb drawn out wide, Seabrook drawn middle of the track. Those horses, do they have the edge now with the barrier after the marbles have fallen, you know, their way a little bit out wide? It is a confusing race. It's a very, very open race, I feel. As far as a tip from me, I've really, really liked number three, Al Merton, right from his first trial. I just love this horse. Maybe tomorrow the slipper isn't his go, but I think the size in a week and a couple of weeks' time definitely will be. I can't see anything beating him in the sires. If he runs well tomorrow, so he works home to the line strongly and runs top five, I think he's right in the frame for the sires. I'm going to back him each way. He's good odds. He's around that
$17.
Yep, $17 mark. I'll take a punt each way on that horse handling the wet rather than, you know, fall into clearly the two best horses in the race, Written By and Sunlight, and not knowing whether they're going to handle the wet or not. It's not a race I'm overly keen to be betting in, to be honest.
Well, I'm very keen to see what Mick Price thinks of his hopes, especially
Jet Seabrook.
Especially the filly Seabrook, because he's been pretty confident all the way through. We're only one day away now, and Mick joins us. How are you, Mick?
Good, boys. Yourself?
Very well, very well. Prospect of a heavy track for Seabrook. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't really know. I don't think a lot of people know. Graham Beek's also got form on heavy track, so it's one that will handle it. And I don't know, Hinchinbrook, he's half the schnitzel. They usually handle it. I can find plenty of positives, as you do, but doesn't really matter, I suppose. You just got to run. But also, okay, so Rosie was 7 yesterday and an 8 this morning, Friday. Nice day up there. Might turn up a 7, a little bit better. It's a very good track on the wet ground, but look, I'm happy with where we're drawn. I'm happy with where the race, how we think it'll work out. I'm happy to be one of the closers. And the filly is flying. So, look, I think she's a great chance. You know, I've got no negatives to put forward on her. So, she should go really good.
I mean, the great thing about Seabrook, she's so genuine and she appears to be just very straightforward in the run. If the riders are able to put her into a position where she can sort of settle midfield or just off, she invariably finishes her races off strongly, as she did in the Sweet Embrace last time. It's a great quality for a young horse.
Well, we still haven't had a really good look at her. I mean, the best look we had at her, you know, under pressure was the Sweet Embrace. It's all right to say she was going to do win this and win that, but best book we had was when she went the best. You know, Huey Bowman got off and said if it had been beaten, it would have been a really bad ride. So I think it's the same ride, whether they win or lose. But, she's a good scopey filly, and you saw how she closed off. So she's got a turn of foot, stamina, great attitude, very sound, and I think there's a good sense of timing about her leading into the slipper. You know, a couple of two-year-olds I've had there, possibly they've had big blue diamond preps and then had to go to the slipper, but 4 weeks between runs has been good, and 3 weeks between runs for her has been good, and I know how she's working, and she's going fantastic.
Is Prairie Fire a fluker's hope?
Not in my opinion, but hopefully he is. I haven't seen enough improvement on him from when he ran an honest little fourth in the Blue Diamond, but they work together, and she clearly has him covered. So not sure where that puts him, but anyway, we'll do our best on him.
Well, gee, $9 she is. It sounds like a nice each-way bet. Fair bit of confidence. As well as the slipper runners, you've got a big night tonight at Moonee Valley. You've got Secret Agenda. You decided to stick with the William Reid. She goes well at the Valley. It's a very winnable William Reid, isn't it?
I think so, yes, and a couple of nice horses in it, but I'm probably going to speak to Ollie and see what he thinks, but I don't really want to be spotting throwing him too big a start. If he controls the race from the front, you don't get a soft first half, he's going to work away and he's going to have a nice opportunity to win under those circumstances. But
could you sit outside?
Yes. Well, she led all the way in the Sangster, went straight to the front from the Norfolk Gate and dominated that race. So she can certainly go forward and sit outside. 1,000 metres down the straight the other day suited us to get back and get cover and finish off. But I would prefer to see her bowl out in the first 300-400 metres and take a position so that she's got thrown in her sights and see what happens from there.
Mick, in race 5, the Alexandra Stakes, you've got Palazzo Vecchio. She's a rapidly improving filly. The mile looks great for her. Obviously, she's a huge winning chance tonight, but what path do you take following this race? Is it a Vinery or a Schweppes Oaks?
Schweppes Oaks is the 5th of May, and that is the race that we've got pegged for her. I think the Vinery is next Saturday, isn't it?
Yes. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, the 5th of May is her. So we'll go around tonight. It should be hard to beat. And then we'll fill in the gaps until the 5th of May at 2,000 metre Group 1. That'll be her.
Got a couple of other runners of importance in Sao Sao tonight. Who's your best at the Valley, Mick?
Palazzo Vecchio.
All right. Very nice. And we might just all up that into Sydney. Got a couple of runners at Mornington as well. Who do you think's your best there?
Heptagon will be the best at Mornington.
Heptagon. Good luck on at the weekend, Mick.
Thanks,
lads. Gee, I love speaking to Mick Price because he calls a spade a spade.
Honesty.
Not many trainers would just say, oh, I don't think he can win.
A golden slipper.
A fluke slip after finishing fourth and a blue diamond.
Yeah, yeah.
And that gives me more confidence about how he is talking about Seabrook because for him to come out and say she is flying, the horse is obviously going very, very well.
You just have to watch all her three runs. Remember we sat in here probably 4 weeks out from the Blue Diamond and I thought sort of bowled Seabrook up as a good chance in that race and she didn't get there. Obviously, he's refocused and come towards the Golden Slipper. But she's always had the quality. The Sweet Embrace win was dominant, in my opinion, off a bit of a tricky run. Soft five on that occasion. He makes a good point. If they do get a decent day weather-wise today and it does get to that soft seven, maybe soft six range...
Hang on, didn't you just listen to Lindsay Murphy? He said it's unlikely we're going to get out of the heavy range.
He's
the bloke who runs
the
track.
You get a nice sunny day up there. It is a good wet track. Maybe he's just being erring on the side of caution there, Lindsay. But if the track does sort of improve a grade or two...
It's not like track managers just say, the track's going to be as wet as buggery.
I'm just trying to...
Normally
exactly.
They look on the positives.
I'm just trying to look for more positives here around Seabrook. But I do think she's got a terrific winning chance.
One man who always looks on the positives is Tony McAvoy.
Oh,
and
Mr.
why
positive.
Wouldn't you when you've got the favourite for the Golden Super. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Very well. We're just debating the track and what it will mean tomorrow. What do you think a possible heavy track or on the borderline of slow heavy would mean for Sunlight?
Look, if it wasn't too deep, I think she'll be actually fine in it, guys. She's such a great competitor. I think it'll take more than a damp track to dull her. And with the forecast and the reports I'm getting, it's not going to be like last year. Like last year was a heavy 10-11. We're going to be maybe not in the heavy range with a bit of luck. So look, I'm getting more comfortable with it as this forecast is dissipating.
Tony, you've had some great associations with very good two-year-olds. Where does Sunline sit? She's 5 wins from 6 starts. She's got a Magic Millions already in the bag. Is she the best young horse you've worked with?
Probably is, Michael. Like gee whiz, you go back to Rory's Jester, you go back to Private Show.
There's been some good
Miss
ones.
Finland, Mahasan. There's been some tremendous babies, and I'm missing a heap of them, I know, but. Look, the score's on the board with her, isn't it, really? She's just a great competitor. She's handled the travel. She's handled the pressure of that Magic Millions is one of the high-pressure races for two-year-olds around, and she handled that. And and all the signs are she's ready to handle another high-grade contest.
Will be a great training performance by you and a great effort from the filly if she can win the slipper, because she's had a busy two-year-old campaign. She's travelled a lot, and this will be her seventh start. Backing up from last week, the same recipe you used to win the Magic Millions. Have you seen her come on much, bounce through that win?
Yeah, look, she has improved, Michael. She's tightened up a little bit, just showing a rib. And looks ready for a grand final to me now, whereas last week I thought she went in just a bit round and that's how she raced a little bit, and that's how she pulled up after that race. And but it's brought her on in leaps and bounds, and she's thrived on it. She's eaten very well. So I'm very blessed and lucky to have a filly as tough as her, and she's just the ultimate two-year-old. She just wants it now. So... I've just been going with her, actually.
Tony, you've got a pretty good second banana in the race in Uhud. Although she's a maiden, she's got a lot of ability. What did you make of her trial on heavy ground a week or so ago?
Yeah, it was okay. We didn't send her out to do too much, Mick, but Karen McAvoy rode her for me, and Karen said she was really on her best behaviour at the gates, which has been a little bit of a problem for her. She pinged out in the blinkers, which has also been another little problem for her. And he said she travelled really strongly in behind them. When he popped her out, he said she was a little unsure on the soft ground, having been her first time on it. But he said the further they went, the more she was working it out. He thinks she'll handle a bit of wet ground, but it was just her first time on it and she was just a bit unsure. But, look, it was a pleasing trial. If you look at written buys... win in the Blue Diamond, and look at Uhud's third in the Blue Diamond. She had a much tougher run and really hit the line strong. So I think she's a great second stringer for me and should run really well.
You've got that form line, as you mentioned, with Written By. Judging by that, do you think she is the best horse in the race? Sunlight?
Yeah, I do. I do, Michael. She's the score's on the board, as I say. She's handled. She's had a grand final, and I think that puts them in good stead if they've actually had to really tough it out. And Written By, he had a pretty tough little run last week. Can he back it up in 7 days? I know my filly can, so that gives me comfort. And horses like Seabrook, which has got huge ability and talent, just at her third run, has she had the grounding for a hard, tough Golden Slipper? I'm not so sure. But I wouldn't swap my filly.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating race, and she's a deserved favourite as well. We wish you all the best tomorrow in the Golden Slipper. You've got a nice hand in at Moorville as well. Have you got a little winner for us there?
Well, look, I would say if there's anyone that likes to have a little wager, they should, if they follow Faulty Towers, there's a horse in the last in Adelaide. They should.
Manuel. Very nice.
I know nothing.
I don't think that was Faulty Towers.
No.
What is the Manuel one with the tip? Dragonfly. Was it Dragonfly?
Yeah. I'm not sure. You'll have to ask Gary.
John Cleese. You use the money.
He's the expert.
Well, let's hope you can get the cash both in Sydney and also over in Adelaide. Good luck, Tone.
Yeah, thanks for talking to us, fella. Thank you.
Tony McAvoy there. All right, Mick, let's get your final thoughts. You've got it down to six. Who are you putting on top?
Al Merton on top. At the odds, I'm going to back him each way. Al Merton, I do hope Sunlight wins. If Al Merton's beaten, I hope it's one of Sunlight or Written By, because I love a dominant two-year-old. I think it's good for racing to have a really dominant powerhouse two-year-old in this country.
All right. Well, I'm with Seabrook. I like her, and I'm happy about the confidence of Mick Price. I'm hoping it's a Victorian trifecta to be Written By, and also Sunlight. We're claiming Sunlight as a Victorian. We're going to take a short break. On the other side, we'll have a look at the rest of the quaddy in Sydney, and we'll get into Moonee Valley tonight as well.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to a huge Friday form focus. Sharky, we've got to get our skates on because we want to get through Sydney, Moonee Valley and Mornington. First leg of the quaddie in Sydney is a wide Rose Hill Guineas. It's a cracking race. D'Argento and Ace High are fighting out favouritism at this stage. How many go in the quad?
Well, you got to throw the Kiwis in because who knows what the heck they're capable of on a heavy track. I am going to throw in 2 Vinda Dance, 3 Age of Fire, 5 Mongolian Conqueror. Could they have fit any more letters in that? I don't think so. 8 D'Argento and 9 Villamont.
Okay. So you are leaving out Ace High, the favourite.
Yep.
Why?
It's Gator's favourite horse. Basically, I'm just working on that.
Look,
I'm just going to take him on. He's had 4 goes on wet tracks. You know, I think he's better on top of the ground. Like, his wet track runs haven't been horrible, but I think he's a much better horse on top of the ground. I really do think D'Argento and Villamont are the 2 emerging talents in the race. They're the best of the locals, and then look, you just don't know what depth of or what level of form that New Zealand Derby is going to bring. You know, every year it seems to stand up. Rather than sifting through the best of them, you just sort of throw them all in. I'd probably throw 13 Mission Hill in as well. Sorry, I missed that on the run through. It does have some decent heavy track form over there.
Okay,
it is a wide leap.
Furor's also looked really, really progressive from the Chris Lee stable as well.
Unbeaten coming through Class 2 Benchmark 71s, but this is a look. If he wins tomorrow, you have to have him at the top of the tree for the Derby. Purely on the fact that he's just rapidly improving. I'm looking at that form and wanting to see how he goes against some good proven group class 3-year-olds.
All right, just clarify those numbers once again for me, mate.
Sorry, I'll just flick that page over. 2, 3, 5.
Yep.
8, 9, and 13.
2 Vinda Dance, 3 Age of Fire, 5 Mongolian Conqueror, 8 D'Argento, 9 Villamont, and the 13 goes in as well, which is Mission Hill. We've done the slipper. We move over to race number 8, which is the Galaxy, the Group 1 Galaxy. It doesn't get any easier. This quaddie's going to pay a bomb tomorrow. Jungle Edge, 420, he's going to get the right surface.
2 really good wet trackers in this race. Number 2, Jungle Edge, and number 11, Darren.
Darren's going like a bastard.
On top of the ground.
All right.
This horse was born with flippers and a snorkel. Maybe not, but I don't know how that would be genetically created in the womb. But anyway, they gave him a pair soon after he was born. I think he was dubbed very early on a swimmer. So he is going in my quaddie.
Right.
I remember how well he was running on wet tracks in Sydney as a 3-year-old. I am not missing out on Darren this weekend.
And Jungle, in her time, is one who hasn't got a great exposure to wet tracks. She's the current favourite. What do you do?
She's won on soft ground, but she's also had 4 misses on wet tracks. She's the class horse in the race, and she's still pretty well weighted too. Just 55 kegs, given she's been narrowly beaten in Group 1s on 3 occasions. She has to go in the quaddie. I'm not all that keen to go super wide in this leg.
What about Snitty Kitty?
Yes, Nitty Kitty. First time Sydney. Yeah, I don't know. I think Snitty Kitty was probably a beneficiary of the way that Caulfield track was playing that day for the Oakley Plate. Still ran really well, and it's got a narrow defeat in a Group 1 race. It's like great training performance by Henry, but I'm just going to take her on tomorrow.
All right.
Numbers for the quaddie. 2 Jungle Edge, 3 In Her Time, 5 English, and 11 Darren.
And Darren. No Viridine either.
I love Viridine. Again, just want to see it on wet ground in this class. He's had a soft track win. It was in a pretty ordinary 2-year-old race.
All right, let's get over to the last leg of the quaddie. This is the Birthday Card Stakes, another huge field. Can we trim up? Is it going to be dominated by maybe a couple of Victorians who we know very well? I speak of Tulip and maybe Callista, who was huge last week.
Really, really open race. I think you've got to hike wide. I know we're saying that a little bit today, but that's just the nature of these races. They're super competitive to start with, and then you throw in a wet track. It's just an added little thing to try and work through. I've gone with 2 Faraway Town, 3 Sugar Bella, 4 Tulip, 7 Sprite, 9 Heady Heights.
All right, that is Mick Sharkey's last
league. And
we
still might miss.
Well, Sugar Bella's the favourite at 320 with a picket fence next to her. That's the quaddy at Rose Hill. Is Galo Shop a good thing into $1.85?
Nope.
Who beats?
I'm not backing a $1.85 chance on a significantly rain-affected track. I know he's got great wet track form, but I need better than that. Even though, you know, it's on form, it's a race he should win. I'd prefer him on top of the ground. I think there's value to be found in Ventura Storm, and I think there's value to be found in Saracen.
Yes, first up for...
He's a good wet tracker.
He is a good wet tracker.
Both of those horses are more than capable on wet ground. They're still improving. Saracen's had a lot of injury problems, which is an issue again. Every time he goes around, he seems to have something go wrong. So that's the risk you take with him. But Ventura Storm, there wasn't much wrong with his Australian Cup run.
Got a listener, Jeff, who is very keen that Kemantari will give Winks a big scare. What's your margin?
Length and a half.
So flat out or easy?
No, just easy.
Yeah,
just easy.
So there's no risk, but you don't think it'll be like last year, demolition. Even on a heavy track.
Kemantari is a very good colt. He has to prove that he's up to anything like Winx's quality. I think there might be a few that try and use their good wet track form. A horse like Clearly Innocent's unbeaten on wet ground. You know, would they be aggressive on him? Happy Clappers at his right distance range. That mile is absolutely ideal for him. He's also capable on wet ground, anything to sort of soft range. There's some horses in here. I think it's a better field than she beat first up.
He's a star,
a more
of the
competitive
future,
field. Put it that
he's
way.
Only going to get a kilo off her. She'll spank him, surely.
Yeah, he might have a head start on her, though.
Won't make any difference. Won't make any difference. Looking forward to Moonee Valley tonight. Let's get into this
week
card.
Of your life. Lego, Daniel Ricciardo, Winks.
What about tonight?
On your wedding day.
We'll start off with the... that's what you said. We'll start off with the William Reid Stakes tonight. And look, it's probably not a vintage William Reid, but what it has produced is an intriguing betting race. There is not one that you could probably discount.
If you thought the Slipper was difficult or the Galaxy, welcome to the William Reid. It's a very even group of sprinters. The thing that makes this race a bit trickier is there's a number of horses coming off sort of below par runs into this race. Throne was a little bit disappointing for mine last time. Fury, bit flat first up. Catchy, She Will Reign. You know, they had reasons for their defeats in the Oakley Plate and the Newmarket, respectively. But you'd like to see them going into this race a bit more positive form around them. Look again at the odds, looking for something at a bit of an each way price. Hellbent wasn't hard to miss in the Oakley Plate. Soon after turning into the home straight, just got a little bit of a bump, bit of held up. We know he's a five-year-old bull. You know, those sort of issues in running can turn those horses off or just, you know, get them off their game a little bit. When he got balanced up again, I thought he found the line really strongly. He tracks an identical path into this race that he did last year when he was stiff not to beat Silent Sedition, charging home. In my opinion, he's probably going marginally better. His Oakley Plate run for mine this year was better than it was last year when he carried 2.5 kilos less. I want to see how the track's playing. That's the caveat I'd put on this bet. Marty Synon talking about the inside being the place to be.
And there doesn't look much speed for a sprint race.
I don't mind that because if it's a bunched field and they're all sort of there looking for runs within, say, 2 or 3 lengths of each other at the 400, I'll back Hellbent's turn of foot and his acceleration off that corner because he's proven that he can race to that pattern at this track before and quicken really well. I just think he's the forgotten horse in the race. I gave Cepedo a great chance. If they let Throne him away with an easy time of it in front, he's going to be hard to run down. And then you've got the fillies at the bottom, you know. And we're not talking about ordinary horses there, like a dual Group 1 winner of a Slipper and a Moya Stakes in She Will Reign, and a Blue Diamond winner and a Dane Hill Stakes winner in Catchy. They're fair old talents, those 2 3-year-old fillies. Wouldn't shock me if either of them was able to win.
No one's mentioned Pariah. I like Pariah first up. Dino didn't mention Pariah either. What's your knock on him?
No knock. He can win the race. I thought his second trial was better than his first, but you'd expect that from the Snowden stable. They get them to improve into their trials. And look, he was asked to quicken in that race by Kieran McAvoy. He did up the inside of horses, showed a really nice turn of foot, and then as soon as he was turned into idle, he just coasted along and maintained that speed. That's a great sign. He's lethal first up, 2 for 2, we know that. I think he's probably better kept to these sprint trips, and we saw him extend out to the 1400 of the Golden Rose at the end of last prep, and he just wasn't as effective. We know he's a very, very good 1200-metre horse. He is right in this race.
All right, give us your on-top selection and your quoddy numbers.
Well, I'm going to throw in, Hellbent will be my each-way bet in the race. I just think he's the forgotten horse. As far as quoddy is concerned, 2, 3, 6, 8, 9, 10.
All right, 2 Hellbent, 3 Sepido, 6 Secret Agenda, 8, which is Pariah, and 9, which is She Will Reign.
It's a tough race.
It is a tough race.
Yeah.
That is the feature tonight. Let's go back to the first leg of the quaddy, which I think is a Sunline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's have a look at that, because is this a two-horse race, Samovair, Spanish Reef, or Abbey Marie, Life on the Wire? Can they upset the favourites?
Well, the Sunline's actually, because we've only got 8 tonight, it's a second leg. But we'll start at the second leg. Samovair, well, I didn't want to disappoint you. Samovair and Spanish Reef are trading blows at the moment, aren't they? And their form lines are tied closely together. They're similar quality horses. Spanish Reef is on the up, whereas Samovair is probably just holding the good Group 2, Group 3
Abbey
level
Marie's
that we know.
Abbey Marie's out, by the way, too.
Yeah, spewing about that. I was so keen on Abbey Marie tonight, but, you know, c'est la vie. We move on. 3 and 4 are the two that I'm going to throw in the quaddy.
250, Spanish Reef. 280, Samovair.
Market tells a story. There's not much between them, and I think it's basically working off the fact that Spanish Reef, you know, they were level weights again last time. Spanish Reef had the better of Samovair. What's Oliver going to do differently tonight to turn the tables on that horse? What's Zara going to do? Does he look at his ride first up, which, you know, was pretty faultless on the mare? Craig Williams taking over last time and getting the job done just as well. I think Spanish Reef can come across, sit just off the likely leader, Life on the Wire. There's not a lot of forward pressure in this race unless something like Royal Applause or Cavalry Gold wants to go forward and do something silly. I think Spanish Reef can win again.
Okay. Tiana Grace was good last start.
Yeah,
do you put
was.
Her in the quaddy?
Great first up run. So often we fall into the trap of, you know, a fantastic first up run. Let's back it second up. And often they're a little bit flat, those sort of horses that have that boomer first up. I think she's going to be ready for that 2,000-metre mare's race in Sydney, the name of which escapes me, but it's in a few weeks' time. I think that'll be her peak run this prep. This will bring her right on, and she'll hit the line well late.
All right, give us your quaddy numbers.
I'm just putting the two in here in the second leg, 3 and 4.
All right. Just to confuse you, punters, let's go back to the first leg now, race number 5. I'll be going one out here, Palazzo Vecchio. Could be one of the bets of the night. How do you see it?
She's my best for the weekend. I'll be taking insurance, though, with number 4, Think Bleu.
Okay, 3 and 4, Palazzo Vecchio. Now into $2.80. She was $3. Siani's.
Spooking it, I'm not on yet.
Siani's and Shakora. So you're going to leave Shakora out?
Yeah, I'm going to leave Shakora out. I think Palazzo Vecchio and Think Bleu are better horses at the 1600. Shakora's running really, really well. We haven't seen her at this distance yet, but she's running on a looming at 1400. I want to see if she's got the same strength with an extra furlong.
Skinny start to the quaddy,
yeah,
and then
we like it.
And then it funnels out,
yeah.
Because it's a tough end. We've got a few scratchings in the last. Andes is out, Confluence fully maxed is out, and so is Garrard, who I gave a little hope to in the last, actually. So
is it Garrard or Garrard?
I'm not sure.
You and Matt Welsh calling it Garrard yesterday. I don't know. I know your private school boys, a pair of you. Oh, dear. Garrard.
It doesn't matter.
Garrard, where I'm from, mate.
Call it what you like. It's not running. Who do you like in the last?
I've got a feeling that number 13, Equestria, could be above average. Still improving. First up win leading all the way against the older horses in the benchmark 64. May not immediately jump off the page as a great run for a competitive three-year-old event like this, but I thought there was heaps of merit in that effort. As I said, led, exposed, carried 59 kilos against the older horses, kept on going well to the line, loved it. You can take a bit of a line through Salsamore, through Equestria's second start, September last year. It was right on the heels of that horse. We know it's stakes class. I'm betting that Equestria is a stakes class horse in the making, and I think it was, well, before the scratchings, it was around $34. So I'm happy to have something on it each way at a shorter price, obviously, with, after the scratchings. But yeah, I just think it's a really nice horse. The horse to beat and the standout on, you know, the market and the form and everything else is Deprive, number 8. And I think it is a very, very talented horse. First time in Melbourne, got to go to the Valley, and it's got to jump from barrier 12. I just think there's a slight risk there at the price with Deprive, but I'm betting he's the best horse in the race long term.
Dino was very keen on Serious Suspect as well from the Weary Stable this morning.
Again, super win. Love the progression from Kyneton, beating Sunquest, who we know goes quite well to Metro Class. Caulfield win was good. Exposed, quickened away, put like 2.5 lengths on the horses that it took over at the 350 really, really quickly. So I love the fact it's got that turn of foot and then maintained that effort late when it was challenged. So yeah, if Dino likes it, you throw it in your quaddy, don't you? Especially from barrier 1, if the track is playing to favour those near the speed or near the fence, as Marty alluded to earlier, then he's a must for the quaddy.
All right, give us your quaddy numbers in the last.
2 Easy Beast, 8 Deprive, 9 Serious Suspect, 13 Equestria.
Okay, so for those playing at home, Sharks quaddy in the first leg, 3 and 4. Palazzo Vecchio, Think Blur into 3 and 4 again. Samovar, Spanish Reef. In the William Reid, 2, 3, 6, 8 and 9. 2, 3, 6, 8 and 9. And in the last, 2, 8, 9 and 13. 2, 8, 9, 13. Going to take a quick break. On the other side of this, we'll have a look at the quaddy legs. Mornington Cup Day.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Time to have a look at the standalone Saturday meeting down the peninsula. Tomorrow, Mornington Cup Day. It's a lovely little meeting. If you've got nothing to do tomorrow, get down to Mornington, one of the best tracks in Victoria, for a nice day's racing. And Shark, doesn't get that much easier for punters. The quaddy's tricky. We might have a shorty in the Mornington Cup, but we'll kick things off with the first leg of the quaddy, which is the Hariba Stakes, and a really nice field in the Hariba this year. Intriguing race. I'm Wesley, trained by Mark Ganderton, the Tasmanian, back to try and get that win after going oh so close down the straight at Flemington.
Wouldn't that have been nice at $15 when we made a good case for him when Secret Agenda took a Group 1 winner to beat him?
Well, you're going to get a nice form line tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, we certainly are. I think this horse is pretty good and improving all the time. I think he's well and truly up to this race. It is a tough, tough race, though. He can definitely win it. He's my top pick. But as far as a quaddy is concerned, I'm throwing quite a few in here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, and 9. I think it's a really open race. There's not a lot between probably half a dozen of these horses. I could see a horse like Prussian Vixen leading all the way. Mm. And she goes so well at the track. You've got horses like Huss and Eagle, Lucky Liberty, Schism. Like, they're all able to close off late in their races. And again, depends on how the track's playing, who's favoured, horses towards the inside or horses that are sweeping with momentum on the corner.
Yeah, and you've put First Among Equals in, who's an intriguing first up. Got a very
good horse.
Very good record first up. Now with the DK... Weir as well. So just recap those numbers in the first leg for the punters out there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, and 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, and 9. First one equals Stellar Collision. I'm Wesley. Prussian Vixen. 6 is Hassan Eagle and the 9. 8, I should say, is Lucky Liberty. That's the first leg, the Hariba. Now we get to the Mornington Cup, and I've got a funny feeling you might just go one out here because you're involved with the team, that race Kings Will Dream. They couldn't get a better prospective entry into a Caulfield Cup, the free ticket. Lord Fandango's been scratched. Foundry's been scratched. It almost leaves the race for him, doesn't it? $2.30, drawn barrier 4. Can they beat him?
It's like, I'm going to call this horse Dory, you know, from Finding Nemo. You know that song she sings? Just keep swimming, just keep Well, Kingswood Dreams is just don't, keep winning,
don't do
just
that
keep winning. You don't like that?
It's a shocking...
You've got kids? Yeah, don't you like Finding Nemo?
It's the voice that I have an issue with, not the actual song.
Ellen DeGeneres?
You.
She's great. Oh, my voice.
Sound
oh,
a little
that's
bit
a problem because
like
we're together for an hour every Friday. So, look, I've got Kings Will Dream on top. Yes, 1,800 to 2,400.
Is that the worry? Or does he run a genuine mile and a half?
Darren Weir trains a horse. I reckon he's going to have him pretty fit. It's only an extra 600 metres. Look, it's a tougher test for him, no doubt. You can see Sis Montaigne going and make it a genuine state test. I still maintain Kings Will Dream will be at his best when he's got a horse to chase for longer. We haven't seen that yet. Well, we kind of did at Flemington last start, but once the gap came, you know, he just exploded through it and there was not much chasing to do. I think he'll win again. I think the danger is number 12, Harrison. He comes through the same race that Kings Will Dream won last time. He was on speed, over 1,800, led, gave a good kick, just faded the last little bit. Jumps to 2,400 metres, and that will really suit this horse. He's got a win over St. Michelle in the UK. I love that horse. I thought he was a Melbourne Cup chance before a little injury and didn't come out last spring. Good form lines around Harrison, 11 and 12 in the quaddy.
All right. It's a trim-up leg. The Mornington Cup, $2.30 favourite, Kings Will Dream, and number 12, Harrison, in the quaddy at $15. Then we go over to the Guineas, and this is another open race. Barbecue, who you were keen on last start, is the $5 favourite in a wide open field.
I think there's really good value here. I would nearly go one out. 13, she's a dashing, whatever they want to call her. Yeah, I love her. I reckon she's a stakes class filly. The step to this distance is going to really help her. As long as they can run on, that's the caveat once again. If they can't run on, then I've got some others for you to put in the quaddie. She didn't have a lot of luck last weekend at Flemington behind Holbein, just got held up and had to switch back inside horses and was not really confident to burst through and take that narrow run. She's a very classy filly. I think she's up to snagging a little group race, or at least getting a group placing en route to the South Australian Oaks. So 13, if the track's playing fair, I'm happy to take 13 on her own. If it's, you know, a little bit leaderish or run on-ish, whatever it is on the day, and you want to take some insurance, throw in 2, 3, 4, 7 and 8 into Rio, the best of those others at odds.
Okay, into Rio, a $16, $18 chance on the Ellerton Zara stable. So 13 can go one out if you're brave, or throw in 2, 3, 4, 7, and 8. And the last leg is race number 9, the Mitavite Challenge Final. A quick look at the market here sees the favourite, Heptagon, is the second favourite at $5. Our Peaky Blinders, geez, getting it tight. Busseton and Natalie Young, $2.30, our Peaky Blinders.
It just gets such a good run here for Jamie Mott. And when Jamie's on these sort of horses that lob in the first four or five on settling from a good gate, half his job is done. He's a very, very strong rider late in his races. I am tipping our Peaky Blinders for much fact that it's got Jamie Mott on it from, you know, that sort of scenario, settling in the first three or four and being really strong that last 300 metres. I think it's got a fantastic chance to win. You're right, is short enough at the moment in the market. I'm going to take three others with it in the quaddie. Numbers 2, 3, 6, and 8 will be my quaddie numbers. I'm just risking Heptagon a little bit.
Nick Price's best of the day at Mornington.
At Mornington, yeah. I'm just going to risk it a touch. Inside gate, a horse that, you know, does get back in its run, in its races. It's going to need some luck to find the outside to make ground there on Saturday.
All right, that is the Shark Mornington quaddy in the last leg, 2, 3, 6, and 10. We will tweet each of his quaddies out, the Sydney quaddy at Rose Hill, the Moonee Valley quaddy tonight, and the Mornington quaddy as well. Running out of time, Shark, I want a best bet, Moonee Valley, Rose Hill, and Mornington.
Palazzo Vecchio is the best bet at Moonee Valley. She's Dashing is my best at Mornington. And let's be a little bit brave in Sydney, because I know you like it when I get brave. Each way in the galaxy, Darren.
Oh, Darren. If Darren wins...
That was a... Gee, that just rolled off the tongue too
easily for
you. If
Darren wins, you are a bona fide genius, and I won't be winning. Have a great weekend, Shark.
You too. Look forward to your more Lego tweets and...
See you next
Daniel
week.
Daniel Ricciardo work from
and
the
you practice your singing as well. Punters out there, enjoy this weekend.